completed this month. It follows the death of four people at Dreamworld. There are reports that members of Iraq's elite counter-terrorism service has found belongings to that belong to an Australian medic who's believed to be working with Islamic State in Mosul. Pressure to legalise voluntary euthanasia has turned to Victoria after the laws failed to pass in the South Australian government on the 15th attempt. And there's been a breakthrough in a 22-year-old armed robbery where millions of dollars in cash was stolen from an armour guard van in Melbourne, with the arrest of a 59-year-old man yesterday. In 1994, five men posed as road workers, stopping the van on an on-ramp to the Monash Freeway before making off with $2.4 million. In sport, three other golfers have joined Lucas Herbert and amateur Curtis Luck in the lead at the Australian Open. Rod Pampling, Wade Ormsby and Rain Gibson are now 5-under par. Pampling is 4-under through 11 holes, Ormsby 2-under through 11, while Gibson is 4-under through 9. Herbert will resume today at 12:10, while Luck will tee off at the same time from the 10th hole with Jeff Ogilvie and Jordan Spieth, who are 2-under and 3-under respectively. Aussie world number 7 Adam Scott is 1-under par. Adam Voges has retired hurt on 16 in the Sheffield Shield match against Tasmania after being struck in the head by a short ball. Voges has been ruled out for the remainder of the game, in which West Aussie batsman Ashton Turner top scored for WA with 110. Two matches tonight in the A-League. Western Sydney hosts Melbourne City, while in Perth the Glory play Adelaide. The Sydney Kings have dropped from top spot on the NBL ladder with the 93-80 defeat by the Perth Wildcats, and the NRL has announced two state-based competitions that will replace the under-20s from 2018. The governing body is expected to save millions in administration costs, with the New South Wales and Queensland state leagues expanded to include up to 16 teams. NRL outfits have been encouraged to affiliate themselves with at least two feeder clubs, which will foster young talent and promote junior development. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
As the stars of the Spring Carnival have a well-earned spell, here at Sky Sports Radio, we continue to bring you the very best racing service.
There looks to be a little bit of speed there, so with these two-year-olds, it all comes down to who comes out on the right foot.
Our vast and experienced team of form analysts spread throughout the country pass on their mail every day.
We've hit the reset button and I could not be happy with that.
Across thoroughbreds, harness and greyhounds, we capture every moment. Right through summer, trust your racing leader. Sky Sports Radio.
At Bing Lee, for a limited time, purchase an Iveco, LG, Westinghouse, Samsung or Fisher & Paykel fridge and you'll get it delivered and your old fridge taken away for free. Only at Bing Lee and only for a limited time. See in store or binglee.com.au for details.
Say hello, say hello.
Get your entries in now for the Inglis Spring Thoroughbred Sale, November 25 at Newmarket, Sydney, featuring broodmares, yearlings and racing stock. Entries close Friday, November 18 at inglis.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, we bring you Australia's most comprehensive racing coverage. Key to that is our team of experienced presenters, including Russell Veitch.
Every race day is different, and that's what makes it so exciting. It's a great buzz when we guide our listeners into backing winners through the Tab Market Movers.
Tab Market Movers, caller updates, all geared to help listeners enjoy and hopefully profit from their punting. Russell Veitch, part of our national racing service, every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
They're off.
Gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished above a GP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everybody. And good morning, Glenn Munsey, tab.com.au. How are you, Muns?
Oh, a bit warm, Shawnee. It's going to get hot here in Sydney today, up around the 34-degree mark, and probably a touch warmer out there at Hawkesbury today. But let's hope the weather continues and we get plenty of people, as we did last Saturday, turn up to Rosehill Gardens. There won't be as many girls there for Girls' Day Out, but let's hope a few of those people come back to the races on Saturday.
Yep, and we've got the golf on as well, and you mentioned the heat. I'm just wondering how Matty Goggins can handle it today. Is he a cool weather or warm weather player? Morning, Matt. How are you?
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. How do you find it when it gets a bit hot out there?
Yeah, after playing for the last 16 years in the States and dealing with the summers through the Midwest there, it's 32 or 34 with a little bit of humidity is nothing compared to what we get over there.
You're an old hand.
Yeah.
Well, Matty, you know, being here in Sydney down there at Rose Bay, you know, by the time it gets to around about 2.30 this afternoon, that nor'easter will probably turn around. The southerly will start to kick in. The temperature will drop probably 5 degrees and it won't be anywhere near as bad.
Yeah, it's normally pretty nice out there. I think it's going to go... I think it's going to go nor'easterly to a bit of an easterly, actually, looking at the forecast. I don't know whether we'll make it all the way down to the south, maybe a little bit later on when we've actually off the golf course, but it might be a little bit blustery and should make for an interesting day.
Matty, what about the big news this morning? Peter Senior has announced his retirement. He walked off the course this morning, citing injuries. He said he got to the stage where he basically couldn't pull the ball out of the hole or he couldn't tee the ball up in a particular spot. It's a sad day for Australian golf. He's been a great ambassador for Australia and golf in this country.
Yeah, great day. Great player, obviously. Sad day that he's not going to continue to play, but... Yeah, it's something to celebrate, really. His career was quite amazing. I mean, he was really a late bloomer in all respects when he sort of came onto the scene. And I think he won the Triple Crown. Well, back then it was the Triple Crown was sort of like a big turning point for him. And he was a very good player through Europe and continued on with sort of some great golf on the US Senior Tour and still managed to win, you know, an Australian Open at 50. He's been an incredible player. And as you say, he's one of the good guys out here. He's always been... Yeah, someone you could talk to and give you advice and play practice rounds and encouraging all the way through my career. So, you know,
I wonder if he'll sell his clubs through cash converters.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's got a few to sell, I'd imagine. But I'm sure he's probably got a pool room, you know, where you put the good ones up and the other ones are probably in the back of the garage somewhere.
Mm. Matt, when you look at a guy like him retiring, there's some nice young guns coming through, and Curtis Luck looks like he's a really promising amateur.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, the system they've got in place right now is producing some great amateurs. You know, Ryan Russell's last year and obviously Curtis Luck this year. I mean, hopefully those guys can sort of kick on. I mean, we've got Jason Day, number one in the world at 30, and then there's sort of been a bit of a gap between him and, you know, some of these amateurs really coming on and cementing themselves around the world. I mean, they're all sort of close and on Challenge Tour or just getting started on the PGA Tour, Cam Smith. So it'd be nice to see some of those guys step up and fill the void and start chasing down Jason.
Well, you're a 20 past 12 tee off today. You're the group behind Jordan Spieth. Let's hope you drag a few viewers away from that group to look at you, Greg Chalmers and Richard Green.
Yeah, that'd be nice. We had a good day yesterday. You know, I think we were sort of 6 under as a group, which wasn't bad. Actually, between the caddies and us and the players, we worked out that we were closer to 300 years in a group than 250 years, so... That's probably... we weren't too happy about that. But, yeah, I mean, Jordan, it's great that he came back. He's an unbelievable player. And there was quite a few people out there yesterday morning, nice and early, to watch him play. So I imagine I'll have a good gallery this afternoon.
Matt, who do you use as a caddy? Do you use a regular caddy or a local at this?
Yeah, well, a local caddy, but he's a regular European Tour caddy. A guy called Justin, he's caddy for me in the past. I met him when I first played in Europe, you know, 20 years ago. He's been at it a long time and he's an old hand and knows what's going on. So it's nice to have one of those experienced guys on the bag and when you play at home.
Mate, fairly steady round yesterday, a 3 under 69. You bogeyed the first, though. Why did you pull out the big dog and get a bit anxious and tug it left it right?
A bit conservative. I was trying to just ease into the round and I eased in with a bogey. So it's not the best way to start. Yeah, I mean, I got it going. I mean, the course really is set up to, you've got to take advantage of the front nine. There's, you know, a couple of short fours and two reachable par fives. So you look to take advantage of the front and there's a few stronger holes on the backside, so especially that run sort of through 10 through 15. So, you know, it's just about getting off to a good start and then hanging on through the middle.
Greens will pick up a little bit of speed today with the warmer weather.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because yesterday they were a little bit soft and a little bit slow. Just what you're used to. Or expect, I guess, playing in Australia. But with the hot weather, sometimes you've got to be a little bit careful. You don't want to get them too much on the edge because it doesn't take much for them to dry out really quick and become, you know, a real problem for everybody. So it'll be interesting to see whether they kept them a little bit slower and softer overnight, and, you know, with the anticipation of 34 degrees. But I'm sure by late this afternoon they'll be rolling quite nicely.
Matty, who do you think could improve from yesterday? Did anyone go out today? Yesterday you're thinking they probably had a bit of an ordinary round, but they could set the course alight today?
Oh, Scotty's always the obvious one, isn't he? Yeah. Such a great player. He sort of got off to a pretty slow start and never got anything going. And I haven't looked at the scores this morning. I'd imagine he's probably flying around there. The weather was perfect. You know, it's nice and warm, good for the Queenslanders, and probably tore it up.
He's 3-under at the moment after 11, so yep. He currently sits at 2-under. He's tied for 24th on the leaderboard there. But
yeah, and then he teed off 10, so he's gone through that backside 3-under, so he'll be looking to pick up a few more coming in, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, he started birdie on the back nine, so he's birdied the first. Well, his back nine, which is the front nine, he started birdie there. So this is his chance now to make that run on the front nine.
Yep. Wouldn't be surprised if he got in 500 or 600.
Who's your prediction apart from yourself, Matty? Obviously, you're hoping to win it, but who do you think's going to be the hardest to pick up?
I mean, a lot of times it's the usual suspects, isn't it? I mean, obviously Ogilvy played well. Jordan Spieth is right there. Scotty's right there now. Over four rounds, you know, the cream normally rises to the top on these difficult golf courses. But I really wouldn't be surprised if one of the amateur guys, and obviously Curtis had a great round yesterday, and he's obviously full of confidence on the year he's having. And there's, you know, the ignorance of youth, right? You just keep going. And he could easily pull it off.
Well, we saw the situation yesterday. I think the morning scores, the average is around about 71, and the afternoon scores was 73 on the averages there. And looking at some players on the course at the moment, Michael Long's 5-under after 10. Tahee Lee from Korea there is 4-under after 9. We spoke about Adam Scott there, but some other players up the top here. Aaron Pike is 4-under after 12. Jonathan Vegas is 5-under after 11 holes. Rod Pampling is 4-under after 12, and Rean Gibson there 4-under as well. So we got similar situation today where the morning players are getting the advantage. Conditions probably a little bit calmer as they were yesterday, and it all changes because we've all got to play as an afternoon player on Saturday and Sunday. You've just got to make the cut to start with.
Yeah, I mean the weather looks. I think Sunday's going to be quite a benign day looking at the forecast. Not much breeze, you know. Low 20s. So, I mean, the scoring on Sunday could be, you know, someone could come out early and go low, but you'd expect, like a lot of the times we play in Australia, it can be really difficult late in the day. You know, late on Sunday, you're under pressure, course is set up tough and flowing, you know, 20 or 30 k an hour, and, you know, it's not unusual for a guy 4 or 5 shots back to post the score and be right in it at the end. But I think this week you'll have to be around the lead to have a chance to win if the weather's good on Sunday for the forecast.
Man, just out of interest, do you ever get guys like Curtis Lark and Amateur come to you and seek advice and say, when is the best time for me to turn pro?
Yeah, a lot of the times it just comes up when you're playing with them. It's not like something they'll necessarily seek you out, but you'll have a round and, or you'll get drawn with them at some point and a conversation will come up. Or I know I spoke to Ryan Ruffles about it. I played with him in the Australian Open last year and he was just talking about it. They're pretty good. I mean, they've got a pretty good group around them. You know, they've got a lot of experienced coaches and a lot of experienced other players that they talk to. And they're very much a close-knit team, all this sort of, you know, Golf Australia squad. They travel around together, spend a lot of time together. So it can be a little bit insular in that respect, but they still lean on a few of the more experienced guys. But it'd be nice to see them do a little bit more of that. But, you know, they're doing a great job at the amateur level. It's just taking the next step now.
I suppose it's a difficult move to make, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you go from preparing for 4 or 5 events a year to preparing to 30. I mean, you can, and, you know, the travel and the confidence and get knocked around. And it's, you know, yeah, it can be difficult. It's more dealing with the lack of success. I mean, when you go and sometimes even the success, you go out and have a great first couple of weeks and then your expectations, you know, go way up, and then you don't meet those expectations and you start getting frustrated, and you can quickly spiral, you know, into a little bit of a low spot. So it's just dealing with playing 30 events a year as opposed to just sort of 5 to 10 important events when you're an amateur.
Well, you speak about Ryan Ruffles. I think he's in South America at the moment trying to, you know, get some dollars in the bank there to qualify for some more tournaments. When he turned pro, I think he was given a 7 tournament exemption. You know, with invites and things similar there to try and build up his prize money to get a regular card on the US tour. And it's not the easiest thing in the world. I remember I was speaking to some guys last week at the New South Wales Open. The days of the guy going around in par golf now, well, you're reading the dates off the calendar.
Yeah, especially over in the US, the courses are set up to score a lot of the time. And there's just such a slim margin between being having a great week and an average week. So the scoring is very bunched. So you can miss a few cuts in a row and really not be that far away. You know, a couple of putts here, you know, two shots a day is the difference between 50th and almost winning the tournament most weeks. So it's a very slim margin, and it's just how you deal with sometimes missing two or three cuts in a row and not getting too down on yourself. Because it's a cliche, but really golf, like a lot of sports, is all confidence. Everyone has the same amount of talent and ability. It's just who thinks they've got it at the moment versus who thinks they haven't.
Well, Matt, we wish you all the best. Let's hope you have not an average week. You have a good week.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
That's all we hope. And good luck. Good on you. Matty Goggin there. Great to catch up with him too this morning, Munt, on Sky Sports Radio.
Yeah, well, he's in the 20 past 12 group today, along with the snake, Greg Chalmers, and the lefty, Richard Green. And we have a three-ball market on Matty's group. He's the outsider to win that group, actually. He's a $3.60 chance there. Greg Chalmers, $2.20 to win that group. And Richard Green at $2.70. When you're betting in the groups there, you're betting the player in that group to have the lower score. Well, I can tell you, yesterday, Matt Goggin had the lower score in that group. He had 3 under. Greg Chalmers had 2 under. And I'm just trying to scroll down. Richard Green must have had 1 under or... Yeah, he did. So he won that group yesterday, Matty, and he's a $3.60 chance to win that group today.
All right. Let's have a look at what's happening now. Ben Dorries is about to join us. His line's just dropped out. We'll get him back in a moment here.
He should be short at the moment, currently at the Gabba, watching the Shield match, because I did hear mail that Rod Marsh rang Ben Dorries during the week before he offered his resignation to ask Ben's advice on some of the players that they could potentially put into the Australian cricket side. He heard about Ben's effort in the charity cricket match there and the fractured eyelash that he played through the game with that serious injury. And his opinions are very, very well respected at the ACB.
How do you follow up on that, Ben?
Yeah, well, let's just say, like, the last conversation I had with Rod Marsh was about 7 years ago, and I think there was words in there that started with F and another word that started with U. So fair to say, he wouldn't be ringing me for my advice on anything, not even to, what cereal he should have for breakfast in the morning.
Well, he does join a very, very long list of people that aren't similar, I can guarantee you that.
I've got to say, though, in the fair dinkum department, lads, I mean, like, Rod Marsh was on the nose, obviously one of the greats of Australian cricket, but in terms of selecting the Australian side, he was on the nose for quite a while. Some of his selections were bordering on bizarre, and his selection explanations were even more bizarre. And I think he just lost everyone when he said that poor old Jackson Bird, the fast bowler, wasn't picked in a test because his number 11 batting wasn't good enough. I mean, that's just the way with the fairies kind of stuff, so... not surprising, Rod Marsh has fallen on his sword one little bit, lads.
We're not travelling too well, are we, at the cricket?
No, we aren't. But you know what, lads? I mean, this is... a bit of me thinks this is as low as we can go, and the only way from here is up. And I do think, in fact, I'm sure, there will be a whole stack, or at least a couple or three new faces in this test squad for Adelaide. And you know what? Bit of rejuvenation, bit of excitement back around the Australian side with some fresh faces, some kids. Do they have it? I'm not sure if they do. Let's hope they do. But there's only one way to find out, isn't there? There's no point in playing a, 36-year-old batsman anymore. Let's have a look at some of these young kids and let's find out whether they've got it.
Ben, is it a matter of, shuffling chairs on the Titanic at the moment? Who have we actually got there?
Well, I mean... Darren Lehman said after the shocking loss in Hobart, there was only three blokes in that side who was safe, Dave Warner, Steve Smith and Mitchell Stark. Look, I think you can add to that Josh Hazlewood. I think he's done enough to be there. And definitely now Usman Khawaja, who hasn't had actually a bad test series. He got a 90 there in the last test and he scored 100 up here for Queensland at the Gabba yesterday. So Usman Khawaja will definitely retain his spot. But that does leave quite a few top order spots still, doesn't it? I mean, Joe Burns, I think he has no chance of retaining his feet green cap. He just looks to have a muddled mind at the moment. He failed twice in Hobart, failed again in the Shield game yesterday. Adam Voges obviously won't be there. I think he almost certainly would have been dropped anyway, but now the poor bugger's been concussed over there playing in Perth. Callum Ferguson's a really interesting one. I mean, Australia don't have a habit of sort of picking blokes just for one test and then dropping them straight away. And, of course, Ferguson was run out there in one of the innings in Hobart. So, look, whether they retain Callum Ferguson is really a 50-50 call. I tend to think they might, just because they don't want, too much change. And, of course, Sean Marsh, at some stage, you would think he's going to come back in this Australian side. So, they may not want sort of three new young blokes in the top order with Sean Marsh still to come back in. But definitely there's a couple of spots up for grabs. A couple of guys who really did themselves a favour yesterday. Young Matt Renshaw from Queensland. He's only 20. He's only played 12 first-class games, but he scored centuries in three of them. It's more the way he goes about it. He scored another century at the Gabba yesterday. He just bats time, this kid. He is very, very, very sensible at the crease. An old-style opening batsman. But having said that, he's not a one-trick pony. He ended up belting four or five sixes yesterday. So, look, he's really one to watch. Normally, you wouldn't say a kid 12 first-class matches behind him is any chance of playing for Australia. He'd be 3 or 4 years away. But the state Australian cricket is in. They could do with a rock-solid opener. He might be one to keep an eye on. Peter Hanscom as well from Victoria. He's sort of long been considered probably the next cab off the rank by a lot of talent managers around the country. And he scored a century yesterday. So, look, he's certainly put his hand up as well. And, you know, this shield round continues, doesn't it? So it'll be really interesting to keep an eye on in the next couple of days to see who sort of fires and who fails.
I suppose it's all right to say we'll drop some of the top names till they find form. You need to have someone who's in form to put in to replace them.
Yeah, you do. And I've got to say, I mean, domestic cricket isn't exactly chock full of you know, blokes scoring lots of runs. But, I mean, Greg Chappell is the new guy on this selection panel now. And he's got one mantra, and that is basically youth. He's the biggest youth advocate, Greg Chappell, you would ever see. Mm. So, to me, that's a big hint. They are going to go very youth-centric with their selections for this next test. And you know what? Why wouldn't you? I mean, do we really want to see Adam Bogers sort of nudging off again, and you know, like he's 36 or 37. You know, Callum Ferguson's on the wrong side of 30 as well. I mean, look, to be honest, if they throw a few young blokes in there and they fail, I'd actually prefer to see the young blokes given a go, and maybe one of them makes it, maybe one of them doesn't, but at least, you know, you've got something to hang your hat on for the future rather than continually playing these old blokes who don't seem to be going very good at all, do they?
Yeah, well, we've lost the series already, so that's the least of our worries. Well, we have lost our last five test matches and our last five one days, so, you know, if they win the toss, they'll do a lap of honour in Adelaide.
very good from you, mate.
Yeah, and then we've got this first test coming up against Pakistan in under a month, so what's wrong with, you know, the big clean out and give some blokes a dig?
Well, exactly. And look, I sort of wrote in today's Courier Mail up here. I mean, England at the moment has got a 19-year-old test opener. He's only just started off his career. His name escapes me, but Hasib Hamid, his name is, 19-year-old test opener from England. So, look, if it's good enough for the Poms, and they're going a lot better at cricket than we are at the moment, let's face it. I mean, what's wrong with throwing a couple of young blokes into the mix? And you know what? Some of them won't cup a mustard, will they? If they pick three young blokes, you know, one of them may go no good and may never be seen again. You know what? But the other two, or maybe one of the other two, he just might be a precious gem, mightn't he? You don't know what you might uncover if you don't give them a go. And as I said a few minutes ago, lads, let's face it, Australian cricket can't go any worse, can it? Mm. So, look, it really is the era of opportunity. I've sort of been covering cricket for 15 years. I've never seen a Sheffield Shield round quite like this one. I mean, normally Sheffield Shield cricket's very marginalised. It doesn't get much of a run in the papers, certainly not on TV. There's not much hype or talk about it at all. But this is a Sheffield Shield round that actually means something. And some kid who scores 100 for South Australia or Western Australia or Victoria, who you've just about never heard of, could be on the verge of test selection. So it's quite extraordinary, lads, that the state Australian cricket's in.
All right. Well, mate, good to catch up, Ben. We look forward to reading you in the Courier Mail. Have a top weekend.
Yeah, good on you, lads. Cheers.
Good on you. Thanks a lot. Ben Dorey's joining us there on the Sky Sports Radio this morning. Josh Parr joining us now, Munts, and he's off to Hawkesbury today. Morning, Josh.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, mate?
I'm great, thanks.
You're riding winners too at the moment. You must just have the money going in the bank, eh?
Yeah, winners are grinners, as they say.
well, you must have it. You've got a smile tattooed on your face. You're going that good at the moment.
It's just the fast horses I'm riding. It's just the wind effect. It's permanently there.
That's it. Now, today you're here to see Runner Perpetual Motion. The second, this horse looks like it's just needed ground, and you got the money on it last out of Goulburn.
Exactly right. He won in nice fashion, actually, at Goulburn. Come from the back of the field, made a long sustained run on him. He's every bit of a stayer. He's still on the improve. There's still progression to be made with him physically and mentally. But he's a very nice horse.
You know how he got his name, Perpetual Motion? He's out of a mare called Pricey. And those older people like myself, Ray Price, of course, the great Parramatta player there, represented Australia at Rugby Union and Rugby League. They coined the phrase Mr. Perpetual Motion. about Ray Price. So a well-named horse, and I always like horses that are well-named, Sean.
Yeah, well, they've named the next ride. Josh has gone after himself. Bold move. this looks like it goes all right. One of Bien Baker's. It's had four trials. It's won three of them, so it's obviously showing ability.
Yeah, exactly right. I had a look at the trials this morning. Jason Collett had the reins in the trials. This is my first ride on the horse, but very eager to get there today and ride this horse. Trials have been very good. Looks a tall, rangy type of horse and made up good ground in his most recent trial. The long straight at Hawkesbury should suit him today. And hopefully some luck for the Bjorn Baker stable, which I haven't seemed to be able to have lately.
You just get in and backdoor Jason while he's out, won't you? Hey?
Someone else's misfortune always becomes someone else's good fortune,
doesn't
it?
That's the politest way you put it, Josh. Really.
Yeah. Other people just say white ant.
In the fifth, Gasila, you're on this. It's first up. It's by Daywood. It looks like it probably wants a bit of ground. It had a run over at 1,200 first up last time, but today 1,300 first up. What do you know of it?
Yeah, haven't been on the horse and only able to watch its replay of its only run. Hoping for some improvement this time around. Ben Hill, I've known for a very long time, and he's only just recently taken out a trainer's license. So I'm sure he'll have this horse prepared in good order.
Right, a special missile. Now, this the other day, although on paper 7th of 8, has only beaten about a little over two lengths.
In a very good form race, too. It took a long time for Blake to find his position on special missile. I rode in the race and was actually at the back, and it was quite a fast run race, and it took a good two and a half furlongs for the special missile to find its position outside the leader. So he spent a whole heap of the race doing plenty of work, and as you said, was only beaten a small margin by Zumbelina, who's franked the form.
All right, we go to Wild Ava then for Mark Connors, and this goes all right at the on it in race 8.
Yeah, terrific form. Looks just a really consistent horse. Only a small field to do. A little bit of a tricky draw, but the horse is in form. It looks a winnable race, and I'm really looking forward to riding her.
Right. Now, what's the pick of Jason's that you've got off him today?
I'll call him and ask him and call you back.
Good on you. What's your best ride today, Josh, you reckon?
Oh, I like Perpetual Motion as a horse going forward, but in saying that, Wild Ava has very good form, and also does John Thompson's horse, our missile, so a special missile. So to be honest, I think I can win on all three of them.
Oh, that's what we want. Mm. We'll keep that for the promo.
Yeah. and a big day tomorrow. Now, mate, just in the first, Phuket, that's probably what you'll be saying to it when it comes to the first turn, because it has done a couple of left-hand turns in its runs. So just be very, very careful of it, the first at Rose Hill tomorrow, Phuket. He went very, very good winning at Hawkesbury the other day, but Robert